Everything has seemed okay since. Knocking on
It's gonna
everything,
be fine.
right? But like, my
It's gonna be
God,
fine.
I'm so annoyed. Like, technology is supposed to make life
Everything is the worst.
easier. It's supposed to
Everything is the
make
worst
life
lately.
easier. Ugh. Welcome to the Incoherent
Where it has been a week. But we
Fangirl.
are here. It's almost the weekend.
Barely, we're barely here, but
We're
it's
gonna do
fine.
it. We're gonna get there. We're gonna make it.
It's a
I'm
long
one
weekend
day
for me.
closer to my Disney cruise.
I have Monday off, so it's a long weekend for me.
The end is near.
The end is near. I am Karen of Uranos.
I'm Mandy of Atlanta, Georgia. Kept getting referenced in a book I'm listening to.
Love it. Love it.
Huh.
In our timeline, it is September 11th. And in y'all's timeline, it is September 19th. I have weird feelings about this day.
Yeah.
At any time I see it on the calendar, I'm just like, oh. But.
I had someone ask me like a few years ago why I am the way I am about like wanting better for the world and all of this. And I'm like, because I watched 2,000 people die live on television and nothing ever got better after that. Like,
Everything
it's
got
just been
worse.
bad since
It
then. Like, it's just been bad since then. That's why, like, my generation watched mass murder
The fact
live on
that,
TV.
truly, the fact that millennials are even still like surviving is wild. Because
Yes.
how? How are we? How?
I don't know. I
I don't.
don't know.
God, we are the most resilient fucking generation. Because. She
And yet
just
they
chose
think we're
me.
the Tide Pod Eaters. I can't. I
No, not
can't.
us. Not
Baby, we have
us.
mortgages. Like
Oh,
children, we have children
my
and
God. Right?
careers. We're not eat
Jesus,
we didn't eat
Karen.
Tide Pods. That was
No,
not us.
that was definitely not us.
God.
Okay, moving
Yeah, I'm with
on.
you. This day is weird.
This week in Fangirling. What did you do other than scream?
Not a whole lot. We had a guest from out of town, somebody, one of the Beacon personalities, Mike Gagliano. If you've watched Beacon, you know Mike. He's from Pair with a Normal, which is like ghost hunting meets The Office. So that's fun. So I was being hostess more so than reading or doing a lot. I did have a Costco day with my sister and my niece and nephew. And the only reason I bring that up is because I am a Whataburger fangirl and babies had their first Whataburger experience. And I was so happy and excited and proud. And they all liked it, which of course they did. I'd have to revoke their familial status if they tried to tell me that they didn't like Whataburger. Even my sister was like, no complaints, I'd come back here. I went to a baby shower that was so cute. On Sunday they had the cutest little game. So it was like picnic themed. So like the cake had little ant figurines. Like they
Oh.
and they the My friend Shella is the baker. She cut up like Snickers bars and had the ants like carrying Snickers bars
Oh,
away. It was
cute.
so cute. But they played this game. They had a big bucket and they filled it with Orbeez. But then they also filled it with 200 Orbeez-sized ducks. You know the ones I'm talking about? Like the little. How many ducks can you get out of this thing of Orbeez in 1 minute? And it
Oh.
is surprisingly more difficult than you would think. But it was so much fun. Like watching people struggle, struggling yourself. That was really cute. I'm gonna have to do that for my newest niece's baby shower.
Love.
I did put myself to bed and keep watching Downton Abbey in the evenings when I could because I'm really close to finishing my revenge. I'm hoping I can finish by tomorrow so I can go see the new movie. Josh and I think we're going to have a date night where we go to dinner together. Then we go to the movie theater and he goes to see The Conjuring and I go to see Downton Abbey. And then we meet back up later at the end of it because I don't really have any interest in seeing The Conjuring. He doesn't really have any interest in Downton Abbey.
Valid. Fair.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We also started the second half of season two of Wednesday, but we didn't get very far in. And obviously, I can't tell you much of anything because it's season two and it's midway through the season. So I have been working in on this guy a lot. If you'll notice, there's no banner. I got an actual proof copy, which some stuff has changed in here. Little teeny tiny things that nobody cares about but me.
Very cute.
But this is what it's going to look like. I'm going to order a bunch maybe tomorrow.
That's so
Just have been doing
exciting.
a lot of admin, making social media content, trying to stay sane and get this book out.
Yeah, fair.
It's very scary. It's the scariest thing I've ever done. But I'm proud
Exciting.
of it.
Yeah,
I'm proud
you
of it.
should
Yeah,
be.
very exciting. Scariest thing I've ever done, but also the coolest thing I've ever done. And then I'm maybe more than half, maybe between half and three quarters through Lady or the Tiger, which we will talk about later. And that was my week. There was like nothing.
It's
What
been a
did you
week.
do this week? It's been a busy week of nothing.
Yeah, it's been a weird week. I don't even know. Okay, so on Saturday I went to Linden Tree and Don Martin was there in conversation with Misa Sugiura about his YA debut, Verity Vox and the Curse of Foxfire, which I talked about last week. It was so much fun. Don is hilarious. If you're not already following him on social media, I highly recommend. Every single time somebody walked up to him and it was like during the signing line and being like, "I've been following you on TikTok forever," and he's like, "I'm so sorry." He was like,
Oops.
just hilarious. So good. Such a great storyteller. So that was really fun. And then I read Tale of the Heart Queen by Nisha J. Tooley, which is book four of the Artifacts of Uranos series. So I can't tell you anything. Not a damn thing. I will say anybody who read book three when it published and then had to wait for book four to come out, I am so sorry. That book three cliffhanger, oh boy. I'm so sorry you had to endure that. I'm very glad that I didn't, but I'm so sorry for you. I read The Mirror of Beasts by Alexandra Bracken, which is the second book in the Silver and the Bone duology. So again, I cannot tell you anything that happened because it picks up right where the first one left off. And if I say anything, then there will be spoilers, so I won't do that. I read The Corpse Queen by Heather M. Herman. You have Molly. After her best friend mysteriously dies, she's first of all, Molly's an orphan, and her best friend Kitty also lived in the orphanage with her. And after Kitty's mysterious death, Molly, somebody has found like her estranged aunt, and she gets sent off to go live with her estranged aunt Ava, who turns out to be actually pretty rich.
Yay.
So Ava, as Molly finds out, has made her empire of sorts by procuring dead bodies and selling them to like medical schools for them to
Oh.
teach surgical procedures. So this is like the 1850s. So like not contemporary.
I mean, still procuring dead
It's
bodies.
not great.
Okay.
It's not great,
It's
but
not great.
and so Molly finds herself interested in the lessons of Dr. LaSalle, who is teaching at the random old church that is on Ava's property. And so by day, she's learning how to be a doctor, much to the chagrin of her all-male cohort because sexism. While by night, she is procuring the dead bodies that they are then learning on during the day.
Are they dead before Molly procures them?
Yes, they are dead. They are dead bodies that people that they're like n they of people that like aren't going to be missed. Like orphan children, or like that
Oh.
whore that died of whatever from the whorehouse, that kind of
Yeah.
those kind of people. But there is a cost to this like inclusion into this world, and Molly has to kind of figure out if she's willing to pay that price. And I would say, Mandy, do not read it.
I won't.
Yeah. It
Don't worry.
I don't think it's, first of all, I don't think it's your genre, and second of all, there are things that happen in it that I don't think you in particular would be able to
Do well
stomach.
with.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
just don't
Oh,
do it.
I'm struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yes. But it is also,
Trigger warning about a
yes.
lot of things.
Yes.
It can be very triggering.
So I also read Lady or the Tiger by Heather M. Herman. I finished it like 2 hours ago. So you would think that that would mean it's very fresh in my brain, but we also remember that my memory is very bad. So we'll
I
see how this goes. But I
was
enjoyed
trying
it.
to see if there
It
were
is.
specific trigger warnings in the book. There are not.
It is. Yeah, it is. Definitely something I would go into knowing what you're getting into. There should be.
There's child death and kind of callous talk of child death. There's sexual assault,
There's
sexual
content.
manipulation,
Yeah.
sadism. I'm
Yeah.
trying to think. I'm trying to protect listeners here.
There is,
Kind of gory.
I want to. There's very something very specific that I want to say that is also spoilery. So if you are somebody who doesn't have any like trigger warnings, maybe cover your ears for like 30
Yeah.
seconds,
Pop out the
so
AirPods
that
for 5 seconds,
you don't
30
want to be
seconds.
spoiled. But
Starting now.
there is animal death. It is not a dog. But it is there. And if
Yeah.
you have read or have started this book, you know exactly who or what I am talking about.
Yeah.
I will say it is not on the page.
Yeah.
It is,
Neither is the child death. Really,
yes,
but it's a
it's
very
implied.
callous reference. It's
It's
implied and
very
it's
callously talked about, yes.
yeah, not by the author, by the
No, by
character.
the character, yes. The
And it
character.
makes sense
In the
in the
context of
context
the
it's in.
story, it makes sense. But it is like, if that's something that is triggering to
It's
you, take
jarring,
care. Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, what I'm talking about, it's not on page. It's at first implied or like guessed, and then one of the characters says it explicitly.
Yeah.
But you don't see it on the page. You can
Right.
guess it though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. But yeah,
Yeah.
definitely
Definitely check triggers.
for sure.
Message us. We can tell you.
Also, I recently found out that there's a website called Book Trigger Warnings where you can like,
Good. I've been saying I want to do that.
yeah. And so I don't know where I saw, I think I saw it on Threads, like somebody was talking about I think it was somebody talking about like how do I content warning pregnancy without giving away an ending. And then somebody commented, like, if there's anything that's listed on booktriggerwarnings.com, I would list it in my content warnings. And I'm like, wait, that's a website that exists?
Oh my God.
So I did go and look at it. It is sort of like a wiki page. So, like, the community has to go in and fill in, like, anything that, they think is triggering. I tried searching, and I don't know if it was just the time that I was using it, where it was so incredibly slow. I typed in something, and I'm sitting, and I press enter, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and it's not really like nothing's really coming up. And I don't think it's the most user-friendly interface. I think it could benefit from maybe like a redesign.
Yeah.
But it does exist.
Hey, that's awesome.
But I will say I typed in Haunting Adeline because I knew that would have lots of triggers, and it didn't come up. And so I don't know if people who have read Haunting Adeline has just never heard of this website, so they didn't
You
put it
would
in.
think that it would be there though, because that's a really popular
Right. So I
book.
use look into it, but I don't think it meets
It's
like
not going to be the end all
does
be all.
right. It's
Yeah,
not
it's not going to
the
have every book.
does the dog die.com for books quite yet, but
Right.
it wants to be there, I think. And I
I
think,
love that though. I want that to exist. I
yes.
want to not have to stalk people on the internet to find out if the animal death is a dog or not.
Right, exactly. But that was pretty much my week. I didn't do a lot of reading. I actually spent multiple days reading The Mirror of Beast because I kept getting, like, I was trying to listen while at work, but then, like, I kept getting bombarded with stuff, which is, like, never happens. I usually am able to finish at least a book while I'm at work because I listen. And it was just really confusing for me. I was like, wait. What do you mean I'm
No.
not at the end? I just
Yeah.
want to know what happens. I'm really stressed out. But yeah, it's been a week. It's been very confusing. Did you see the interview with the, I think it's Italian journalist interviewing Andrew Garfield, Julia Roberts, and Ayo Edebiri?
Some of them, yeah. Some
Good
like bits
look.
and pieces of it.
I have no words. What the fuck?
Maybe not. The thing I'm thinking of is the soda can thing.
No, I don't know what that is. No, so
It's
what
just
happened is they were doing press for, I can't remember the name of the movie. I think it's Hunt. And this journalist asked, specifically says she's asking Andrew and Julia, okay? The two white people on this panel, how the politically correct era and the how that affected Hollywood, and how if we lost anything after the Me Too and Black Lives Matters movements have ended. And it was
What?
bad. And to direct it
To the
specifically.
white people.
Okay, so she asked this question, and Andrew, you see Andrew, first of all, he like pops up, he's like, what the hell is happening? And he physically turns his entire body away from the journalist and looks at his co-stars and is like, what is happening? And then Julia Roberts, bless her, because she was like, she looked at her, so she's like, I'm sorry, can you ask that again? Because with your sunglasses on, I can't tell who you're talking to. Like, first of all, trying to call her out, and second of all, giving her a way out of
The
this
option
mess.
to say, yeah.
And so then she specifically is like, this is for Andrew and Julia, and asks again. And my God. And I like
How do you respond to that question?
watching Io's expressions while this question is being asked
Oh, I
is
live for her. Have you ever watched The
hilarious.
Bear?
No, but I want to. I need
Oh my
to.
God, it's
I love
so,
her.
she's incredible. She's
But
incredible.
yeah. And so like Julia starts to talk and she's like, I don't think they're over. And Io's like, listen, I know this wasn't for me, but like I'm gonna answer. And she was so well spoken. She was so and she did exactly what black women have to do is stay calm and answer
Yeah.
intelligently, because otherwise they're just gonna call them like
She's hysterical, which is
right.
insane.
Which hilariously, like I really need this journalist to understand that Ayo Edebiri has just saved you from being murdered by Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
The anger that you could feel coming off of Julia Roberts, my God, like of all the like, why would you ask the white man about a female and
Female and
black
black women or
movement?
black people movement.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
absolutely insane. It was,
Oh,
I
buddy.
have, I'll send you, somebody got a screenshot of their expressions and it's a work of art, truly, because they're, it's just so what the fuck. Like, I'll send you the picture,
The
but
audacity that some people have is just like, where do you carry the gall?
I really, yeah, like, does your back hurt from carrying all this
Carrying all
audacity?
this nerve
My
around, like, what the
God. Was there a
fuck?
sale somewhere that I don't know about? Because
God.
truly, I cannot even imagine. Speaking, especially, and like, especially to these white people, they don't stand for that.
No.
Like, they're,
No.
no. Mm-mm. And like, bless Andrew and Julia for letting Io speak. Like, they sat there, they looked at her and not the journalist, and were like very attentive to her because she is literally the intersection of both of these movements. But yeah, I was like, I can't, I can't. What in the fucking world? So I think
America.
seeing that, it
I mean, it's still America.
was an Italian journalist. America does suck, but apparently Italy also sucks.
It bleeds over into
But yeah,
everything.
I was like, I think seeing that this week also like just kind of, I don't know. It's just my whole body has just been like
Yeah, we're just in like,
I'm tired
just
of
get me out of here
existing.
mode. Just get me out of here.
Yeah. But that was my week.
Well, did you have a fictional boyfriend you want to talk about?
Not really. I do have a fictional girl gang that I love though, and it is from The Girls from the Mirror of Beast by Alexandra Bracken. You have Tamsin, who is the main character and the main narrator of the book, and then her friends Niamh, Alwyn, and Katrina. They went through a lot together in the first book. Part of it being that some of them did not like each other in the first book, and now also part of it is like some of them may like each other in the second book. But it's like they went through probably one of the most traumatic things in a fantasy world that you could go through at the end of book one. And starting in book two, they're like, we are in this together until the very end. And like, they just love each other so much. So yeah, I'm
Sweet
obsessed.
babies.
Love them. That's what I'm gonna go with. What about
Okay.
you?
I think Cal, the sweet little baby angel from Texas in Lady or the Tiger, he tries so hard.
Oh,
Sweet
yeah.
baby.
Something
He
about boys
tries
named
so hard.
Cal.
I know. Well, yeah, fair. True. So,
Yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna go with his sweet little self.
he is a sweet lady angel. Yes, you too. My dog pops
You
up.
gotta go.
My face is hot.
It's been that kind of week.
I know. I said sweet baby angel, and my dog was like, who, me? Yes. Yes,
Do I
you.
have any sweet babies?
Yours are.
They're all downstairs with their dad.
Oh,
He's got
offensive.
big ears. Keep li like the AirPods keep wanting to push out of the out of my ears.
Oh, that's funny. Sound means we have an intruder alert. We're
It's
so excited. I feel like this is perfect, like easing us into the spooky season.
an
We're
intruder.
talking to
Yeah.
Heather M. Herman about Lady or the Tiger. Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to chat.
Having me. I'm excited. I'm excited for spooky season. I'm re like, let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
So the first thing we usually ask is like, give us the elevator pitch of the book if anybody hasn't heard of it.
Sure. Okay, so Lady or the Tiger is a historical Western horror, and it centers on Belle King, who is the wickedest woman in the Wild West. And she's known for cutting out men's hearts and replacing them with stolen diamonds. So the story starts with her. She's in a Dodge City jail cell. She's just turned herself in for murder when all of a sudden the person she thought she killed, her abusive ex-husband, shows up very much alive.
I love her.
I kind of I would let her kill me, I guess. Like it's fine. It's okay.
What a way to go.
So where did this story come from?
Oh man, I don't know. I have been asked that question so many times and I'm like, it just my sick and twisted brain, I guess. Like I don't know. I think, I tend my writing process, I think I tend to start with like a concept, which is kind of a weird way to do it, but like every book I've written has a word or like a theme I want to explore. And so like my last book the corpse queen was body. Like, what does it mean to be a woman, like with a body, like in today's world, but also, back in the 1800s. And for Lady or the Tiger, it was possession. Like, what do we possess? What possesses us? And then that quickly sort of also came into tandem with madness. Like, it, but all senses of the word, like, what makes us mad, and like, how do we contain our madness, and who calls us mad, like, as in
Right. Yeah.
possibly like derogatory terms, like that get thrown around like crazy, or whatever it is for women.
Yeah. I
It
love
was
that.
so real. It was so real to read because a lot of the book takes place like in or around an asylum where women are just cattle, kind of, and they're used and abused. And I have like relatives of relatives who were put in asylums because they were overtired, or they'd go to rest and they'd come out and they'd say, like, the women in there are not crazy. There's nothing wrong with most of them. And
And
it's
I
wild.
also have family who have been through that in the not too distant past, and it was a very real thing. I have, like, actually right here, like, I found this. This is an actual record of like an asylum patient, a woman, and it was just like she was doing normal things. She was tired. She was, like, being, I can't remember, one of the words was like excited, like noisy, like,
Oh my God.
argumentative, right? Like, and so, yeah, it just the fact that this actually happened, hysteria, like, that's another one that was like an actual quote unquote illness, right? Like, it was pathologized to like have emotions as a woman.
It's wild.
Gosh, it was so real to read, like, and raw. I like the note that I wrote. It's like, it's such a hard book to read, not because it's not like enjoyable, because it is, it's so enjoyable, but there's such heavy content, especially like relating to the condition that women were treated just in the 1880s, but also in asylums in the 1880s. How did you juggle like taking care of yourself while writing and dealing with such rough, heavy topics?
I think that was taking care of myself, probably, right? Like, being able to like grapple with that stuff on the page, like, lets it out, right? Like, I think the trouble, at least for me, is like, if I'm bottling that stuff up, right, then it's bad. But if I can like explore it and have a character explore it and get through it, then it's, I don't know, it's cathartic in a way, I think.
Makes
That's
sense.
actually, that's an excellent point, honestly.
I never thought of it like that. Like, I always
No.
sometimes I feel like, oh, you're writing all these hard things, and then you feel all of that, and it's like drowning in a sense.
Yeah,
But
you have to be huddled in a
yeah,
corner crying, but
but
no, you
like,
don't.
no, that makes sense. Like, art is our release. So, I never thought of it like that.
Honestly, like, horror writers are the most boring people. Like, I swear to you, like, every horror writer I know is just like the most normal, boring human. You get to your romance writers or like whatever, like, or you're like
We're a
just
little crazy.
happy, right? Yeah. And then
No, we're a
there's
little
like
crazy.
in the best way, but I'm just saying, like, it's so funny to me, like, the difference. It's like, I wish I was more interesting than I am.
So, this book and your other one are very, like, they're set in historical times that you did, and in your author notes, you did mention, like, you did research and you did, were trying to be as true to the period as you could. What kind of research did you do? Like, how do you find out, like, what somebody, I don't know, they a woman who's going around cutting men's hearts out, like, what kind of research goes into that? What things are you searching to find that history?
Less about have, I mean, sadly, there were no, serial killers or female who did that. But it's more about just the like period stuff that gets tricky, right? Like, and so you just go down rabbit holes of like, what was the Dodge City jail cell like actually like? And it's like, oh no, like the building burned down in this year, and then like I'm setting it in this year, so like they remade it, so everything that I've used is wrong. So now I have to go back and
Oh
find like the
no.
right thing. So it's just rabbit holes, but I love it. And I think also a lot of the research I did was on just like the theme of madness and possession with women. And there's a lot of great like lit crit out there about that stuff that I find fascinating. Like, Gilbert and Gubar's like Mad Woman in the Attic is like a collection about like just all of the ways that quote unquote mad women have appeared in fiction. And I just have always been fascinated by it.
So, were there any historical figures that you kind of took pieces of for the characters, especially Belle,
Yeah.
but the rest of them, did you like who did you pull from?
I pulled definitely Belle Starr, who was a female outlaw. And there's actually just a new book that just got released about her, which
Oh, cool.
came out after mine, and I really want to read it now. I forget the name. But she, I was told growing up that my family was related to her. And so, like, I was so excited about that. I have since done like as much digging and research as I can, and like, I can find no connection. But in my
Oh
heart.
no.
In my head, we're related. Yeah.
Oh no. I'm
Oh.
sorry.
Oh, I know.
That would be cool.
Would be so
Yeah.
cool. Yeah.
So when you're writing, do you have like an outline that you go off of? Like, are you a plotter? Are you a pantser? What kind of comes first for you? Is it characters, the setting, plot?
Yeah, I think again, like I'm an idea-driven writer, so it tends to be more that, which is so much messier. I kind of hate it. Like in terms of planning or pantsing, like I fall in the middle. I waste so much time because it'll be like I'll have a beautiful outline. I can make a beautiful outline, and like you could not pay me to like stick to the outline. I don't know what's wrong with me. So. What works best for me is like letting myself go wild for a little bit and then doing the outlining and then like that process over and over and over, which is really frustrating to be honest, but
Oh.
that seems to just be the way that I do it. Yeah.
I mean, the
Whatever
end
works.
result, though,
Yeah, whatever
yeah.
works to get to you to hear.
So, like, the prose in this book is incredible. And
Thank
I
you.
just, like, I don't understand how you do it. How long did writing this book take you to give such richly detailed scenes and this world without it being like overly so? Like, it's just like the perfect balance. And it's just so good. And I feel like this had to have taken 100 years to get right.
That means so much. Thank you. I really appreciate
Course.
that. It took a long time, not necessarily because of the writing. It took me a long time to find the voice. So, like, I actually wrote an entire other first draft where Belle was a side character with like an entirely different main character who was like an intrepid reporter in the 1800s who was like coming to interview Belle. And then my editors were like, Heather, like, you seem way more interested in the serial killer. Like, why don't you write it from her point of view? And I was like,
Yeah.
can I?
I
Like,
can do that?
yeah, can I do that? Because I wasn't sure like how much, why was like what I was allowed to do or wasn't allowed to do. So once I switched to that POV, like, it was so much easier for me. And I don't know what that says about me, but like it just like Belle was so natural for me. Like I felt like she was speaking like through me or whatever. So that was such a nice experience to have.
I loved her voice.
Yeah, and I think you found a way to, I mean, like, okay, we understand murder is bad. I get that. But like, Belle is still such a sympathetic character. Like, with her, just the way that she is telling us the story and the things that she's gone through.
We support women's rights and wrongs,
Yes.
is what it is. Like, I
Yes.
support her.
Yes,
Go, girl.
100%. I also really love that we get a lot of like Belle talking directly to us as well, not just
Yeah.
telling us a story, but t telling us, like, oh, you might have expected this, but was that an active choice to like make her kind of break the fourth wall and talk to the reader directly, or did it come from just as you were writing, you're like, oh, wait.
I mean, I think the latter, but it was definitely, I have always loved that style of storytelling, and you see it a lot in like 19th century like children's books, honestly, which I just adore. It's usually though by like a male author. I think maybe Edith Nesbit did it. I can't remember, but it's usually like it had been like a male author talking to like the young readers, and I was like, huh, like that would be a lot of fun if like a female gets to like talk directly, like reach out and speak to you.
Yeah. I
And it
thought it
gives
was
it
really
like
cool.
a mythic quality, right? Like it's like almost like a a fairy tale or something, like a story being told.
And that's how I felt about like the Lady or the Tiger short story that I didn't even like, I'd never heard that
Yeah.
until this book. Like, what made you want to kind of include that and kind of base the story and name the book after that short story?
Yeah, that came like as I was writing. But I loved that short story. I was forced to read it in middle school or high school, I can't remember, some English class. And if you haven't read it, if anyone out there has not read it, like go read it. It's so short. It's just like a couple of pages. But the ending is so cool and it always stuck with me. And ever afterwards, I would like meet people. Like I'd be at a bar and I'd be like, "Do you remember? Like, did you read Lady or the Tiger?" And we'd be like, "Oh my gosh, yes, like that ending messed me up, you know?" So once I found that story, like it came into my story, it wove its way into my story. I was like, "Oh, duh, like this is the structure that I want. Like this is what I needed." And it's just
Yeah.
the symbolism was like so right for Belle.
I felt yellow wallpaper vibes too, and that's the one that stuck with me
Love yellow
from
wallpaper.
English
Yes.
class
I'm
was,
so
oh.
glad. Yeah, I tried to sneak some of that in on the wallpaper because I love that story too.
Oh, I felt it. Yeah. That's oh. It gets you in your heart. It gets you in your soul as a woman. It's like, oh, this poor woman, she wasn't crazy. She was postpartum. That's
Yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Like that's all.
What is it about the horror genre that attracts you to writing stories in it?
I love it so much. Like I think really good horror is like a mirror for our society, right? Like I think it lets us look at our world through a lens that's kind of sideways at things that we maybe can't face head on. So like you think about like the 80s horror movies like Romero's Zombies and the Shopping Malls, right? Like that's talking about like consumer culture in America, right? Or Get Out, right? Like that's talking about race relations. And I think audiences will go see those things or read those books and can take in that those sort of like hard topics and be willing to explore them there when maybe if it's like head on, it's a little more uncomfortable. So I think I love it for that. I also think that like to me, horror is just like fairy tales for adults. Like that's what I love about it. Like I've never been into just like gore for the sake of gore or whatever. Like to me, the best elements of horror is like people coming together or rising above against the dark in some way, whether that's internal or external.
That's kind of how I am. I'm a fraidy cat by nature. I used to love like horror movies. You
Yeah.
know, I've lost my stomach for them because everything is so gory these days. And it has to be, there's 17 broken bones in your face and then someone's guts are all over the place.
Right.
I appreciate, like you said, just like the dark, and then we're gonna defeat that dark
Yeah.
eventually. Like we're gonna get to a point where people are facing that dark. Like I
Yeah.
would rather have spooky than scary and gross and gory.
I think we're going through a big splatterpunk phase right now in horror, which I actually love. Like I love like Maeve Fly and like all the great like female characters coming out of it. But I think that's like a reaction to like claiming like bodily autonomy because women have so much of it right now. But I do like for me, like my first love is that like old, like maybe more 80s, 70s, 80s like horror where it is a little more slow burn, maybe. And it is about, yeah, like kind of existential crises.
Yes,
And I love
absolutely.
how like you're very intentional with the things that you include in this book and like the horror elements of it. There's a very specific thing that I'm thinking of that I don't want to say because it's a spoiler, but I feel like you took such care writing horror that is like scary but talking about things but also not like Mandy can read it, which is
Yeah.
I think is a testament to like good writing because like she said she's a scaredy cat. So I really appreciated that as well. Like horror, I love horror, but also like I can also like take a step back and be like, no, it's not. I can't. But this one was good. Excellent. And I love like your writing. Like, is this something that you're writing Like, where did you learn to write? Was it something that you were taught, or did you kind of, I guess, self-teach by reading?
Yeah, probably a little of both. Growing up, my grandma was actually a poet. She was a farmer's wife. So she didn't have a lot of opportunities, for that, but she was the smartest woman I've ever met. And she would write this beautiful poetry and self-publish it. And I would go to their farm, and the entire basement was just books. My grandpa was a farmer, but he'd been a teacher before that too. And so he would go around to like the auctions from small Kansas town to small Kansas town and just buy all the books when the small like one room schoolhouses closed down. So I would just spend hours there reading. And then also my grandma, would have written. And so that would really, I think I didn't know that you could write except for that. And so I think that allowed me to know that. And so I sort of start, I was interested very early. I was like writing, all of the little like kid stories that I could, but I was also like writing Freddy Krueger ripoffs that I would like pass around to the sixth grade classroom and get in trouble for. And like that was really fun. I had some really good creative friends. We would like write stories and stuff together. And then I went to school for writing. So I did a journalism degree, and then I went and got my MFA too, which was lovely. Like I highly recommend it, if only because you get to hide from the world for a few years and write,
That's
Oh my
so
God, that
fair.
does sound like a
That
dream.
does sound nice.
The dream. It is, because you also have your like-minded people, right? Like that was the first
Yes.
time I'd ever been in a room of freaks like me, and it was just the most beautiful thing. I loved it so much.
So were they all like, did you get with all horror writers, or was it all genres of people that came together for
Oh
your,
yeah.
you call it a
No, it was,
cohort? I don't know what you call it.
yeah, cohort. Yeah. It was
Yeah.
very literary, because that's what MFAs, it's changing, but that's definitely what they were when I went there. So I wrote literary fiction and short stories and stuff. That's kind of the model, was like learn to write short stories, really. They didn't train you on anything like how to plot or, but I learned so much. I don't mean to say that I didn't, but I was always like trying to like sneak genre in there, and people would kind of like side-eye me, but it didn't matter. It was what mattered was like writing a good story, right? Like, and I think that's how we all came together and talking about good stories. But yeah, no, I was the only horror writer for sure.
I love that
Okay, so we don't want to keep you too long, but we do have a couple of questions that we always ask. They're kind of like fun questions. So we have a segment on the podcast that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we pick a fictional character. It doesn't necessarily have to be a boyfriend, but I've had a fictional granny. Mandy's had a fictional son.
Fictional son,
This
fictional
week,
friend
yeah.
groups.
So are there any characters across any kind of like medium, film, television, books, that you're like, everybody needs to know this character?
Oh,
This is
needs
where
to.
you're like, have I ever read a book? I don't know if
Yeah,
I've ever seen a movie in my
everything I've
life.
consumed is gone.
It's all gone. Okay, so everyone know I'm from Kansas, so just I guess I have to start there. So we're gonna go Wizard of Oz. Everyone knows the movie, right? Like everyone knows the movie, but did you know, like it was actually a book, and not only a book, but like a series of books. And Dorothy Gale in those, like she still influences me today, because she was just this like curious, like fearless girl who would just like wander off down into the cornfields, and there'd be like a secret
Yes.
world. And I loved it so much. Like I would actually go to my grandparents' farm, and I would like shut my eyes, and I would like spin around, and then I would like open my eyes and be like Oz, and like just pray that I'd be an Oz, and
Oh,
never was.
I love.
I mean, but I yeah, like her. Go back and look at her, and then also I love. Again, this is like a children's one, and probably everyone knows this, but it's worth rereading. Alice in Wonderland. Alice in those books. I just adore her. I've just been rereading it to my son, and she's just so funny and clever, and her voice is just amazing.
I recently just reread the entire Wizard of Oz series.
Did?
And
Oh, yeah.
oh my God, you're so right. Like, Dorothy is just like, she's just so up for adventure all the time. And like, I love her. She's so fun.
And it always works out for her too.
Yes, which is also really nice because it's like adventures can be scary, but she like somehow in the end they always make it out and it's super fun. And like the people that she meets, my God, I love, yeah, that's a
I
great
love that
one.
you read those books. I sometimes feel like no one else on earth has read those books. That
The
makes me.
Wizard of Oz is like my favorite
Oh, you're talking
movie.
to a Wizard of
And
Oz
like
girly. Yeah.
I can't show you because it's a bit of a mess, but like the entire other side of my office is just basically like a shrine to the Wizard of Oz. Like there's
Karen, we need to talk because when I was in high school, mind you, it wasn't like grade school. I was like, Mom, I need to redo my room. Like, I need to repaint it green.
I
And
love
she
that.
let me. And so it was like I had this like emerald green room with like all the Wizard of Oz
That's
posters.
amazing.
Oh,
One of my biggest, like most ridiculous dreams is to buy a house with a fireplace that has brick and so I can paint it yellow.
yeah, you have this has to
Like
happen.
I want it so bad. I have this beautiful like emerald green coffee table that is like weathered and looks like it's beautiful, and I'm like, it would be so nice in front of a yellow brick fireplace. Yeah, I
I'm manifesting it for you. It's gonna happen. Sending all my
Yes, we need this to
because
happen
my
for you.
God, yeah, I'm so excited to find somebody else who like really loves The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, we should just geek out for the
Oh,
rest of the time about Wizard of Oz. Like,
please.
yes.
I
Oh,
could
I mean,
talk about it
honestly,
here.
I could segue you into that because our next question is, what books do you like, love, and recommend to everyone? So, keep it going.
I am so impressed with the segue. Like, I love how you just brought us back. You're like,
She's like,
oh my God. What books do I love and recommend? I was just actually listening to your interview with Lyndall Clipstone, and she and I have some similar loves. Secret History, love, love, love that. Picnic at Hanging Rock, adore it. It by Stephen King is like my go-to. I have to read that like once every other year. And also The Stand by him. Let me think of like a weird one. Muriel Spark, in the driver's seat is like a weird, murdery, postmodern book that's super trippy that I love. Anything scary, anything weird. Yeah. And The
I
Wizard
love
of
weird
Oz.
books.
And The Wizard of
I
Oz. Yeah.
mean, The Wizard of Oz is also weird, so it fits.
So weird. So
It
weird.
is so.
Circling back to Stephen King, I need to read The Institute because I just watched the show and
Yeah. It's pretty good. I think like it felt close-ish to like his old form of stuff. Like I'm like a sucker for all his like 70s, 80s books, right? But
Oh,
like
yeah.
but that one's not bad. Yeah, it's pretty
Yeah,
good.
I come from a long line of Stephen King people. My aunt, my uncle, my mom, my grandmother, they are all like, I will read anything that man touches.
Wow. I mean, to be him, right? Like everything he touches just
God.
gold. Yeah.
We were watching The Institute, and my husband and I were just like, his mind is scary. That's a
It
scary place.
is. You know, have you ever read oh, what's the one where he it's about his wife and he like the husband has died. Do you know what I'm talking
No.
about? Of course, I'm forgetting the name. Anyway, like that one actually goes into, I think, the way he actually thinks. It's like the author in this book is like clearly a stand-in for him. And it's all about like this secret world, like in his mind that he goes into and like all the dark things there. And I'm like, oh, that's you. Like
Yeah, you're telling us who you are.
yeah.
I love that. All right, so one last question. What comes next? Is there anything that you're working on that you can tell us about, or is it all very hush-hush?
No, I have announced this one so I can talk about it. I just turned in first draft for my next book, which is YA, but it's not historical. It's current and it's vampires. And I'm so excited. It's called A Dream of Blood and it's got like lots of Lost Boy vibes, if anyone likes that.
Oh, I love
I
that. My brother will
love
love that too.
that
He's all
sounds
about the Lost
exciting.
Boys.
And
Yeah.
is there an estimated projected like pub day? When should we be looking out for
Yes.
that?
Yes, we're looking I think it is 20 late 2026, early 2027. I think it's like
Okay.
it's a moving target. But
Okay.
yeah.
That's a good range
That's
though.
exciting.
And this is also the time when we have to give you a little bit of bad news, which is now that you've been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for future book releases.
Oh, man, we're gonna
So,
geek out on Wizard of Oz so hard. We're gonna like
yes. Well,
rip
I'm gonna
on
reread it again just before, and then I'll come in with notes. Like, forget the interview. We're just gonna talk about this.
Look, one day I need like a Dark Dorothy book.
Oh my God.
Oh, wait. I haven't read it yet, but Danielle Page, I think, has written a Wizard of Oz retelling series that looks like it might be darker.
But I want Heather to write it.
That would be
I
fun.
want to
I
write.
want it in
I have
Heather's voice.
I've got some weird, like my thesis and my MFA program was trying to do that. It went off the rails pretty hard. One of these days. But until then, you should just go watch Return to Oz, the movie, if you want like a weird, dark. That one's still like I'm still haunted by that movie. Firouza Balk in that was like everything as Dorothy.
Okay,
I
I'll go
love
watch
it.
it.
I
Yeah.
love it. I love it. I love it. Well, everybody, Lady or the Tiger is out now, so
It is so good.
go pick one up. It's excellent. Like Mandy said, the prose is phenomenal.
Unreal.
And like
Unreal.
knowing that you learned a little bit from your grandma, the poet, I feel like
That's so special.
that's so very cool. Thank you so much, Heather, for hanging out with us. This has been so much fun.
Thank you, guys.
We're looking forward to the next time, so hopefully we'll talk very,
Yes.
very soon. All
Very soon.
Right, talk soon.
right,
Thank
bye.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Why is she so beautiful?
Right?
Oh,
She was
My God.
gorgeous and so funny and nice. Oh, I love her.
And like, my gosh, so many like well-articulated things.
She's
Just
like the
she's so
coolest
well spoken.
person I've talked to in a long time, I think. But
She's
like the obscure, like
yeah.
the farm in Kansas full of books that you read
My
from like
God.
the 19th century.
Sounds
That's
like a dream.
love. Love her,
Truly
love her, love her.
love her. I'm so excited. Yeah. I would also like a horror retelling of The Wizard of Oz from
You
Heather's
said it like
voice.
me.
Did
Horror.
I? Oh my goodness. I love her.
Good times, good interview.
Yay.
Should we make some announcements?
Yeah. I'm so excited. Like, I'm so excited for next week because we are talking to, this isn't the cover, but The Heartbreak Hotel by Ellen O'Clover. When we got, I think we got an email and I screenshot it and I sent it to Mandy. I was like, please, 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 please. She's like, Karen, I don't care. You do
I
whichever
don't
you want.
care.
I'm with
Yeah.
you. I'm with you. I'm so excited. I've talked about both of Ellen's other books on the podcast before, The Someday Daughter and The 7% of Roe Devereaux. And I love them. And this is her adult debut. So I'm
Oh.
so excited. So yeah, I can't wait. Yay.
I lied. I found a sweet baby angel.
Hi, sweet baby
He was
angel.
like, "Sweet baby angel, did you call for
It's me, it's me. Hi, mama.
me?"
I love it. Oh,
Hey,
hello.
Patreon.
Oh, he really wants to be included, that sweet
He wants
boy.
to be part of the show.
I
You
love.
didn't read anything this week, but
No,
you did
probably.
watch some Downton Abbey.
That is
He
a
said that
well-educated
Isis is
guy.
his favorite character. Wait, I have to take a picture of this for
He's
Josh.
so cute. I cannot.
Pooch. Wait, look.
Oh, I'm dying. If you're not on
Nut.
Patreon, you're missing so much cuteness.
You're missing out. Look, I
Because
can't see your dingus face. Okay, bye.
he's like, okay,
He's
mom,
such a
dead.
dinghole.
But he's so cute. I
Ugh.
love him. All right, time for a spiel.
Let's do a spiel.
Okay, friends, if you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog. Subscribe to our Patreon, as we've mentioned, because you get early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes where you can see the sweet baby angels, and some exclusive bonus content.
Yup.
Additionally, you can support us by going to our merch store, theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. Lots of cute designs because Mandy gets bored sometimes, so she makes us cute stuff. We
It's
love.
I'm about due for a boredom create fest. I've been
Right.
create festing things, but they're for the living and the dead.
I mean,
I could be
we
better.
also love that.
I need to send you the things I've been making. They're kind of
Please, the
cute.
fact that I don't already see them is very rude, actually.
I'm sorry.
I'm very offended. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we will accept all of that in our
Compliment my
inbox.
dog.
Yeah.
If you're on Patreon, you just saw him and he's cute.
He's super cute.
Yeah.
You can send us an email, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And of course, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us your words. We love
We
words
love your
here.
words.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and visit our internet besties. Start your holiday shopping early, do some self-care, whatever you need. We're here for you. First stop, you're going to go to herecomesthenerd.com. Use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to go to onceuponabookclub.com. You can subscribe. You can get some random goodies. I just got the next Romanticy box. We have two codes that you can choose from. We don't care. We love you no matter which one you choose, but they don't stack. So you're going to use either code Karen10 or Mandy10 for 10% off, but you have to spell Karen right, or you're going to have to pick one of the doors. Are you going to get the lady or are you going to get the tiger? Spell Karen right, maybe.
I'd appreciate it. I also, as a tangent, I was just saying this to somebody the other day, but when you say Karen, you say Karen, you don't say Karen. So therefore, my name is spelled correctly and everybody else is wrong.
Fair.
So
Very true.
I'm just saying. Anyways. You can head over and visit our friend Amber D. Lewis at amberdlewis.com. Add 10 of everything, seems like a good number, round number, into your cart. Then you use code FANGIRL10 and you'll get 10% off the 10 of everything, which means you've gotten one of everything for free.
Ask
Like,
any math person you know, they'll be like signed off on that. Yes,
cosine,
100%. You're
absolutely.
correct.
I'm gonna
Yes.
text my friend. He was a math major, so
My sister was too, and she'll be like, yeah, you're right.
Correct.
Done.
Congratulations.
And then you're gonna go support the Purvis family so I can keep writing books. You can go order pre-order right now a copy of my book, The Living and the Dead. I'm working on hardcovers, but I need to get one in first. There was all kinds of kerfuffle with the cover because Ingram Spark is really particular about their
Rude.
template.
Oi.
But you can go to aepurvis.com/shop and pre-order your paperback copy. And if you use code Aaron Warner, you'll get 10% off. Then you're going to want to support the show husband. So you can follow him. He's at Borna Josh on all the things. You can follow his paranormal investigation group at Searchers Believe. You can get some more merch designed by yours truly when I get bored at searchersbelieve.com/shop. If you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off. The podcast that we have that we're going in a few weeks to record with Jack Osborne, which is so crazy. It's at Searchers Podcast. And the big one is you want to be following at Stream Beacon TV. That is our new streaming platform that is paranormal, horror, true crime content that is the next best thing. We're filming a show with Jack Osborne. The filming is happening right now, both as we record and as you listen. So it's great. You can go and follow Stream Beacon TV on all the things. And if you go to streambeacontv.com and subscribe, if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off of that as well.
Yay,
So,
perfect for spooky season.
yay!
Yay. And
And I
that
think
was a
that was,
very subdued episode
yeah,
of
just
The
the incoherent
Incoherent
fangirl.
Fangirl. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We love
Love
you.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.